You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
No guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs.
Kia ora, Justine. How are you this morning?
Morning, Narech. I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. It's all happening across the Mutu at the moment in big politics and, you know, people's micro politics of their lives. We've got some pretty hearty questions from people on the text machine today. Someone started off with a real spicy one. I feel like my employer is doing some union busting, but since I'm the one trying to organise our team to unionise, I'm not really sure how to battle it. Any tips for negotiating or chatting to management to try and get them to stop?
Well, firstly, a big, congrats and, like, you know, well done on trying to unionise your workplace. It's not an easy thing to do and you're stepping up, so you rock. In terms of how we can deal with union busting, I kind of have a different angle. The thing is that bosses will try union bust, and it's not, I don't often find it very fruitful to have a chat with management about stopping, because they often won't. So I'm not sure that I have advice on how to make management not union bust. You do have the right to join a union, yeah? And any kind of undue influence or threats or any, you know, that kind of behaviour is actually illegal. Not that it matters, because it does happen, right? I think the main advice I can give you is just that you need to inoculate people. So we call this inoculating. So it's like, we expect that your boss is going to try and convince people not to join the union. So when you're talking to people about joining the union, you might mention that, how do you think management are going to, you know, react when we unionize? What do you think? How do you think that they're going to react? And kind of just prime them and get them to understand that when you are building power and collectivizing and, you know, creating like a strong voice for yourselves, that there is going to be a reaction, and just to prepare people for that. Because when you prepare people for that, oftentimes it's okay, because they're like accepting it. So I don't know if that's helpful information, but I want to direct this person to a website called Labor Notes, and it's Labor without the U. It's an American website. They are a like grassroots kind of union website, and they've got a lot of tips on how you organize your workplace. And a lot, like, I can't go over everything you should do in this small segment, but Labor Notes, I will send a link to the FM to put in the show notes. There's a lot of tips there.
We will absolutely do that. What else have we got, Stella?
Someone's texted in saying, it's in my contract that I have a work laptop, but we've had budget cuts and they've had to cancel the hire contracts for those laptops. I'm not sure how to navigate saying I really do require it as well as my desktop.
So, firstly, your employer is required to provide you with the equipment necessary to do your job, especially if it's in your contract. They can't just cancel it. My question would be, have they done any consultation? Have they, you know, varied your agreement, or is that still in your contract? Because if they're in breach of the contract, I would say that, you know, how do other people feel about this? Are they also, similarly, like, unable to do their work? I think best protocol is always to collectivise an issue. So if you can get together with your co-workers and respond together, that's always the best option. In terms of how to deal with it, have you raised that it's a contract breach? That might seem like a really scary thing to do, but if it is in your contract and they are breaching the contract, you might just want to remind them of that, yeah, and that you're aware of it, because that's important. In terms of how to navigate it, like, I think it's also just explaining how it's going to impact your job in really clear terms, maybe in writing. So I would probably note it's a contract breach and then explain the impact it's going to have on you being able to do your job. But they are, it sounds like they're absolutely required to provide you with a laptop.
Indeed. Yeah, it's definitely a tricky one, eh? But it is also, if it's in your contract, it's in your contract, that's for sure. We've had someone who's off on a work trip. Apparently it is a compulsory conference, but their work is not paying for their accommodation. They can't afford it. Yeah. Is it even legal if they try and force me to go? That's a stinky okay. Buzz.
It's a wild west out there is what I'm getting.
Yeah.
employers are, like, I just want to, like, just recognize something, that employers are feeling really emboldened right now, and this is, I'm seeing that across, the sectors where I work, where, like, employers are feeling really emboldened. Is this legal to force you to go? No one can compel you. I mean, that's just, there's no such thing as a there's no such thing as a compulsory conference where your accommodation isn't paid for. I'm sorry, it's a bit of a grey area in terms of the law. There's not like really strict stipulations, but in terms of, so I can't tell you that they have to pay for your accommodation. But what I can tell you is that there's no such thing as a compulsory conference where you have to go, but they don't pay your accommodation. If that makes sense. So as much as they don't, you know, like there could be an agreement that there are conferences that you would, you know, go to and then pay your accommodation. That could happen. They're not. It can't be a compulsory conference. Mm. If that makes sense.
Does.
Hopefully that does make sense.
Yeah.
No, it's not legal to force you to go. And I just find it. I've never heard of that before. A compulsory conference that doesn't pay for your accommodation.
That's whack. It sounds like a pyramid scheme.
That's so whack. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Sorry to that person.
Yeah, we need to unionize our workplaces because otherwise bosses will be telling us we've got compulsory conferences but nothing unpaid travel and accommodation. That is so bold. That is so bold. Like, the level of disrespect that shows to their employees is unreal. So absolutely say no. And if, like, I guess I just want to remind people, when your boss makes an outrageous, like something outrageous like that, or, you know, for instance, they don't give you a laptop to do your work. You know, like both of those things are pretty outrageous. One, you have the law on your side, and two, if anything does happen to you, you do have the right to seek recourse, you know, to potentially have a personal grievance. And I just encourage people, just like I would, you know, like I'm sure in the renter segment, you know, she would encourage people to go to the tenancy tribunal. Like, if you have been, you know, disadvantaged or unjustifiably treated, like dismissed at work, there are recourses available to you and you should absolutely take them up, because otherwise bosses think they can get away with these things.
Yeah, absolutely. Just on this one, finally, you know, that is really stink. But also, if there's a lot of pressure at your work that you have to go or anything, and would you recommend getting it in writing, like sending an email saying this isn't really okay, so that if you do end up getting to that recourse stage, there's some sort of paper trail about it? Is that good advice, perhaps?
100%. So, yeah, that goes without saying. So when you're in a tricky position at work, it's you have to turn into a bit of a detective, and I mean that in the sense of, like, you are, like, being forensic about every interaction you have with your boss. You're taking notes, you're getting things in writing, and you're keeping that in writing, you know, those things, so that if you – and, you know, like – that might mean printing it out or whatever it is, because, you know, you might not want it on the server. Like, and there are a bunch of things you can do, right? But, yeah, getting things in writing, really important. So, yeah, I would, with the laptop and the compulsory conference, I'd want that in writing.
Absolutely. Hey, yeah. Thank you very much, Justine. We will see you in a fortnight. Take care. Until then. Kia ora.
Yeah. Take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.